We're recording.
Good. Okay. We are recording.
Great. Well, I'll kick this off and welcome everyone. And again, apologies for not being there with you. We'd like to be there as a full commission whenever we can. But as I mentioned before, a couple of us had some prior commitments that made it easier for us to do this online. But we appreciate the time you took to come out. It looks like there's a small crowd there. Let's see, today's date is the 5th of February. It is about 4:35 in the afternoon. We are assembled today as the Sheriff's, Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, Peace Officer Merit Commission. And we have two items on the agenda today, both of which will be presented by Krita, our PMC administrator. The first item, I think we'll want to stick with the order which they are laid out on the agenda, is to review and consider proposed revisions to the Peace Officer Merit Commission Policy 3105. And that was included along with release of the agenda. So hopefully anybody interested in seeing those specific revisions, which we'll review now, has had an opportunity to see those and perhaps provide any comment. So with that, why don't we start with that first item, Krita, and have you walk us through what those proposed changes are.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Salazar. So as you stated, this first is revisions to the Peace Officer Merit Commission Policy 3105. And the changes are highlighted in red. This was emailed out to all staff on the sheriff's email. And so everyone should have received this. We also have copies in the room for those that are attending personally to have hard copies. But it's pretty much the same revision throughout. And this was a result of officers from UPD joining the Law Enforcement Bureau. Now we're to the point where we're doing promotional testing, and we want that time that they served in their current rank with UPD to be able to qualify. Otherwise, we wouldn't have, because our LEB Bureau has only been in existence since July of 2024, we would not have officers that would qualify. So you'll see this first revision, qualifying service time. The total time an employee has served in a rank within a category, and I want to remind everyone that we have three categories. The first category is our Corrections Bureau, the second category is our Public Safety Bureau, and the third category is our Law Enforcement Bureau. So again, the total time an employee has served in a rank within a category in the Sheriff's Office, and that would be for corrections and public safety candidates, or UPD if hired by July 1, 2024. So again, this isn't forever ongoing. If we have candidates that join the Sheriff's Office now from UPD, this provision wouldn't apply. This was, you know, during that transition period, and is limited to those that were hired by July 1, 2024. And again, that applies to the seniority service rating, a rating which is added to the candidate's examination score. The rating includes time served in the sheriff's office or UPD if hired by July 1st, 2024, again within the category, tested up through the date of the examination. So that category helps us distinguish which bureau they're testing with, because as we'll get to, this next examination applies to all three bureaus. And then moving on, so the minimum service time and education requirements for categories and ranks. The first is our sergeant must have a minimum of 5 years service time within his or her current category. Again, category referring to the bureau in the sheriff's office or UPD if hired with the sheriff's office by July 1st, 2024. Again, 2.1.5, for law enforcement, a candidate must have a bachelor's degree from an education institution accredited by one of the regional accreditation councils for the U.S. Department of Education, law enforcement, or UPD, if hired with the sheriff's office by July 1st, 2024, service time in the current category can substitute for the required education on a time equivalency basis. So again, we've always allowed for that, that service time can replace the education requirement. But again, that service time for LEB, if that's the category that they're testing for, service time with UPD in the current rank can replace that education. Moving on to lieutenant, the same, but just now applicable to the lieutenant rank. The candidate must have a minimum of 2 years service time within his or her current category with the sheriff's office or UPD if hired with the sheriff's office by July 1st, 2024 at the rank of a sergeant. Again, the next one, we're clarifying that even for public safety and corrections candidate, that it's the current category and rank when we're replacing education. We're not crossing categories. And then the same for the education for the Law Enforcement Bureau. We're allowing that UPD service time to be included for the current rank. And then we move on to the captain, and it's applicable, those same changes are applicable at the captain rank. Again, allowing that UPD time, if hired prior to July 1st, 2024, to apply. And those are the only changes. We made other changes to this policy previously. And so with that, I will turn it back to the commissioners, just scrolling through, making sure there's not anything else, which there is not. So I will turn it back to the commissioners for any questions.
Any discussion from the commission? I have something, but I don't want to steal Commissioner Stonebrook's thunder since she usually is like our formatting and spelling.
No. I'm fine. I don't have any.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised that you don't, because my only mention was going to be.
There's a space that should be. There's one that needs a space beside it, but I didn't want to be so ridiculous.
And I think that'll probably get caught when they do the clean version of it.
Exactly.
I did want to point out, and again, it's just probably more formatting, but everywhere where you have in the sheriff's office or UPD if hired by July 1st, 2024, it's just formatting where you put the parentheses. Again, I don't know that it matters, but whether or not the parentheses are even necessary, I don't know, but I think just being consistent with that and just the formatting thing like that. But okay. Really, I have nothing else to mention other than that. Interesting that there is reference to the degree requirements. I didn't think about this before, but as you were pointing out the updates, Karita, just a personal thought that came to mind was when we referenced that bachelor's degree requirements for an accredited institution by the U.S. Department of Education. We may be back around again. I guess if changes go through there,
that's true.
But in any case, I didn't see anything that caused me any alarm or question. So, Commissioner Bertram, anything from you?
No, not at all. I appreciate it.
With that, then, why don't we take an opportunity to open this up to comment if there's anybody who would like to comment about these proposed changes. I think they seem relatively straightforward and simple to the commission, but we want to be open to any comment that any of those present, either online or physically in the Anchor location, would like to make. We just ask if you would please please state your name and your association, if any, when providing your comment.
Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Matt Thompson. I'm currently an employee with Sheriff's Office and just had a couple of questions on the where I was talking about service time and credit for the for education. So for the sergeants, it's pretty much that the public safety and corrections for a sergeant, lieutenant, and captain have the same amount that is required, as far as meaning that a bachelor's degree isn't necessary. It's 1 year, 2 year, and 4 years credit, versus law enforcement candidates in sergeant, lieutenant, and captain all have that bachelor's degree versus service time being able to count for that. So just wondering, more specifically in this case with the lieutenant, it would be that you would need a 4 years total if you have service time as a public safety or corrections candidate, but need 6 years for law enforcement, or 2 years and 2 years of school and 2 years of 4 years of school. What is the reason? I know this was changed, a decade ago or so. I think I was in the meetings when that happened. I was just curious what the reason for the difference between the requirements between the bureaus.
Commissioner Salazar, so was I maybe I was reading that wrong for public safety and corrections. I took it that you would need 2 years, for instance, for a lieutenant, you need 2 years as a lieutenant and 1 year as a bachelor's degree or one more year of service. Am I misreading that then? And Karita, maybe you could clarify.
Yeah. So for our corrections and public safety candidates, as Sergeant Thompson mentioned, probably 10 years ago, we moved away from the bachelor's degree requirement due to a lot of our staff not, having that, yet having the experience and being, ready to promote. And so those requirements are for our public safety and the corrections are the same that they've been for at least 10 years. However, now we've added our law enforcement bureau, and the law enforcement bureau has stayed with what previously was with UPD and what is more consistent for a law enforcement requirement of the bachelor's degree. So I think it's, again, just the different requirements for the different bureaus based upon kind of needs and the market and, all of that.
So I just want to make, I apologize. I just want to make sure I'm reading this correctly then, Karita. Within the corrections and the public safety bureau, there is a total of 3 years that's needed after you've been, so 2 years as a sergeant, and I'm going to use lieutenant as the example, 2 years as a sergeant, and then 1 year of college and another.
So I believe for...
Are they still under the 4 years? So it's 1 year of college, 3 years can take that place if you have the degree, and so a total of 6 years if you don't have a degree.
Yeah, so for lieutenant, it's 2 years. So you're required to have 2 years of education and 2 years of experience, and if you don't have that, a total of 4 years of experience.
Yeah, but then for law enforcement.
But it's yes. Different for the law enforcement.
For the law enforcement, that's accurate.
4 years for the required equivalency.
That's correct. And that's been a consistent standard for, UPD and those, in the law enforcement bureau. Most of them have those degrees. They've been aware of that requirement. That has not been a requirement, like I said, for 10 years. And so, a lot of our corrections and PSB, may or may not have that degree.
So the explanation as to why the difference, what you clarified for us, what I'm hearing is that no changes would be proposed. These are just being maintained as they have been. And for public safety corrections, these minimums, as are currently laid out, have been the minimums for approximately 10 years.
That is correct.
Okay, and I guess to address the question raised, you know, perhaps there's consideration, you know, as to whether or not there should be updates or changes to those. That's not being proposed at this time, but that doesn't mean that isn't something that could be considered at some point. It's just not being considered at this point, at this particular update. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Did that answer your question, sir?
Yes, thank you. And I'll be brief. I just have one other question on 4.4. It says, so for passing scores may be established for each test component of the examination and may take into consideration one or a combination of the following factors. The first three, I understand kind of what those are. They seem a little more self-explanatory. But on the fourth one, on 4.4.4, it says diversity of workforce consideration. I was just kind of wondering what that means or an example of what that means. I know I may not look it, but I'm in the protected class of over 40 and just curious about that with the, if I wouldn't want those circumstances to either aid me or be held against me if I'm over or underrepresented in the lieutenant rank. So I was just wondering what that would mean as far as how would that be applied if needed.
Okay, and again, this is not a change. This has been in Merit Commission policy for, you know, many years. I will, however, say that we have never made a decision or on passing scores based upon, you know, race, gender, you know, any of those factors. While it is something that it looks like we, you know, could use it, that's not something that we have used in the past, and I don't see that we will be using that for this exam.
Okay.
I think it's interesting. I mean, the time frame, of course, this is a topic of discussion at the federal level for sure. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made the remark about the existence of the U.S. Department of Education, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I think to the question, that may be something, perhaps not at this time, but is that something that the Sheriff's Office wishes to maintain? And if it's not being used, if it's never been relied upon, is it necessary to even state it in policy? Is that a potential policy change to be considered for the future? This is just a statement I would make.
Yeah, and Commissioner Salazar, I think we, you know, do have a diverse, you know, workforce, and we seek out diversity in our recruitment and, you know, in our hiring. And so I think that's why we haven't necessarily needed it in our promotional testing. So I think it's something we do, you know, want to maintain. But like I said, we vet that out earlier in the process and trying to, you know, recruit for diversity. So, and have not then necessarily needed it at this level.
Commissioner Virgil, are you going to say something?
I guess I misread what was meant by this policy or this line for a few years, because I always took the diversity as the assignments that you had a diverse background at the sheriff's office, meaning you'd work, you know, in a pod, you'd work maybe, you know, MSER. I misunderstood that for years. I didn't realize that that was what it meant. So, no. I've always read it as being that, you know, we encouraged, you know, the opportunity to work in different divisions within the sheriff's office. So I apologize.
No problem.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that it could be interpreted that way too. I mean, somebody's experience is also a diverse facet about them individually, and so it's not.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
That explanation.
Okay.
That's all I had.
For raising those questions.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else, either present in the anchor location or online?
Yeah, if you're online, just go ahead and unmute yourself and go ahead and ask any questions.
Is there anybody in the chat?
chat comments either then?
No.
Peers. Okay. Why don't we close the public comment then and bring this back to the commission? Any further questions or clarification that either commissioner,
no.
Either of you have? All right. No. Well, with that, I mean, this seems relatively straightforward in attempting to address an immediate need or to provide some immediate clarification, especially for this next exam plan that we'll be considering. So I'll actually propose that we or make a motion that we support and approve the changes in policy 3105 as it's been presented.
I can second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the requested policy updates. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All right, you have an approved policy. With that, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is to talk about the 2025 Sheriff's Office Combined Lieutenant Promotional Examination Plan.
Okay.
Karina, you want to lead us through that?
Thank you. So as you said, this is a combined lieutenant promotional examination plan. That means that it will apply to all three bureaus, our Corrections Bureau, Public Safety, and Law Enforcement. And we're excited about that. We're excited about the collaboration that has taken place and kind of uniting in the promotional process and continuing to do that. So scrolling down, we start out with listing the merit commissioners that you will see listed there, along with merit commission staff. Then we have the advisory board and representatives from all three bureaus. We have Chief Jason Ackerman from our Law Enforcement Bureau. We have Lieutenant Ryan Scothern from our Public Safety Bureau. And we have Lieutenant Kim Brower from our Corrections Bureau. That is who has put together this examination plan along with the Merit Commission staff. We'd like to thank them for the work that they have done on this. The evaluation board will be Lieutenant Mark Hawes from the Public Safety Bureau, Lieutenant Kathy Romero from the Corrections Bureau, Lieutenant Saul Bailey from the Law Enforcement Bureau, again, representatives from all three bureaus. But we also, as we typically do, have some outside evaluators. And we have Lieutenant Keith Jenkins from the West Jordan Police Department, and he will be involved in phases 1 and 2. And as I go on, you'll see that there's three phases to this exam. And then we have an outside evaluator, and we actually have our outside evaluator identified. And I apologize, the one that went out today as the reminder did have that evaluator, and it's Lieutenant John Gulley, G-U-L-L-E-Y, from the Davis County Sheriff's Office. And he will be our outside evaluator for phase 3. And as I said, that has been updated online. Okay, just going over important information for the exam. We have the merit commission policies that are applicable to the promotional testing process. We encourage everyone to review those, and we have a link that they can click on that is a hyperlink to access those policies. Again, we will be updating that 3105 and getting that into these policies, but again, that did go out to everyone as well. And we will again resend it out once it is signed by Commissioner Salazar. Okay, so minimum qualifications. These are the same minimum qualifications that we've had for the past several years. Candidates must be a merit employee. And just a reminder, our members that came over from UPD to our Law Enforcement Bureau came over as merit employees. That was approved by the Merit Commission, And so those are merit employees, even though they have only been with the sheriff's office a little over 6 months for most of them.
One quick question.
Yeah.
Given the policy update that we just made, do these requirements reflected here, education and service time, need to be also be updated according to the new policy?
Let's see, where are you looking at education and service time?
Sorry, I'm getting
it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will get there, I promise. So, minimum qualifications. Again, we have the same requirement as far as evaluations. We want our evaluations to have calculation on promotional testing. And candidates shall not be allowed to take a promotional merit examination if they have a combined total of 3 or more does not meet expectation ratings during the preceding 2 semi-annual rating periods. So we have 2 evaluations a year. If they had more than a combined total of 3 does not meet expectations, they will not be allowed to take the promotional examination. And then the minimum service time. For examination purposes, service time will be counted to the first day of the examination. Candidates must have a minimum of 2 years service time at the rank of sergeant in their current category with Salt Lake County and or UPD. And that, Commissioner Salazar, is taken from, you know, the policy, so the exam plan is summarizing that. But that is similar language to 3105. And then same with the education requirement. I think this might even be verbatim, but very similar. A public safety and a corrections candidate, which we just discussed, must have 2 years credit from an education institution. Service time in the current category. So again, it has to be the category where they're currently employed. And at the rank of the sergeant can substitute for the required education. So that would be a total of 4 years. But for our law enforcement bureau, they must have a bachelor's degree. And again, the service time at the rank of a sergeant can substitute for that required education. And again, that time with UPD is also considered as a rank of a sergeant. Our lieutenant testing competencies, these are similar to the competencies that have been used for the past several years. So we have communication skills, and it's outlined in more detail there. Problem solving and decision making, coaching and motivation, integrity, leadership, interpersonal skills, strategic planning, administrative or organizing skills, and knowledge. Again, as a reminder, our candidates must have an overall score of 70% to be placed on the register. They could score lower in a certain phase, but their overall score must be 70% to be placed on the promotional register. So, as I mentioned, we have 3 phases. Phase 1 will be a written paper. Candidates will be emailed a topic and instructions for a written assignment. The paper will be graded solely on the candidate's writing abilities and content, and it will not be presented orally. And they will receive information about what that topic is and instructions for that assignment. And that is outlined in the schedule. I was just gonna look here. Someone can say if they're... So the written assignment will be emailed on March 6th, and the instructions. Phase 2 is an oral interview, and the oral interview will consist of behavioral and situational questions. This will evaluate the candidate's essential knowledge, skills, and abilities as outlined in the competencies. And I would like to reiterate that the competencies can be used throughout the testing, you know, process. Those are the core foundation and skills that is being reviewed and evaluated. And so while this is mentioned specifically for this phase, it can be used, those competencies, in any phase. And then we have phase three, the leadership presentation, and this is a little bit different than what you've seen in the past. Using the leadership competencies, the candidate will present to the evaluation board that they have acquired the skills necessary to become an effective lieutenant. But different than when the candidate has been allowed to decide how they're going to present that. In this situation, the candidate will be given instructions and a specific topic assignment for their leadership presentation after their oral board interview. Then the candidate will be scheduled 1 week later to give their presentation to the evaluation board. And everyone will get a week. You know, the American Mission staff has it set up that everyone will have a week to prepare from their oral interview until the time that they present that. And then it gives a few options that the candidate can use, but that is not all-inclusive. If there are other things that the candidate wants to use to make that presentation, they can have the ability to do that. So again, our testing schedule. The application period will open on February 21st at 8 a.m. An email will go out notifying that the application period is open. The application period will close on March 2nd, right before midnight. There is an orientation meeting. This is non-mandatory. This is going to be on March 6th, and we're still working out the time and a few of the details, but that will be emailed to all of the candidates. Again, it is not mandatory because all the information that will be provided in that meeting will also be emailed to the candidates. But it's just, again, another opportunity, since this is the first time that we've done a combined testing, for people to come in and get information. But again, it's not mandatory. Some of it will be going over the exam plan like we're doing now, perhaps for some of those that couldn't attend this meeting. So we're just trying to make sure that, you know, everyone is informed.
I assume there'll be an opportunity for anybody who attends that non-mandatory meeting to, you know, ask questions to clarify, you know, points or parts of the exam plan.
Yeah, so what we decided, just because we wanted to make sure that if there were questions asked, that everyone got the information, and this is how we've done it in the past, I asked the candidates to email me, and then I email the question and the answer to everyone. So in that meeting, that information will be provided, that this is to provide information if they have questions, to make sure that all the same information is given to those that couldn't be there, that they email me, and then we will make sure we get that question answered for everyone. Again, not disadvantaging someone that may not be available to attend that meeting.
Thank you.
And then, as I stated, the written assignment will be emailed on March 6th. The written assignment is due on March 14th. Again, they'll be given instructions on where to email that and what that entails, but that will be by 1700 or by 5 p.m. The oral interview will be scheduled the week of March 17th to the 21st. Again, each candidate is notified of their date and time and details. And then the leadership presentation, as we stated, is a week later. And they'll be notified of those exact details as well. The examination contents. The written assignment will be worth 10%. The oral interview is 45%. The leadership presentation is 40%. Seniority is 5%, for a total of 100%. And with that, I will turn it back to the commissioners with any questions.
All right, thank you, Creta. Any questions or discussion that like to have, commissioners, around this?
Could I just ask, Creta, on the presentation that you said, you indicated that you could bring whatever materials you want to that i.e. I could bring my own laptop, I could bring a PowerPoint, I could bring a slideshow, I could bring, you know, like, is that what I'm hearing?
That's accurate. And like I said, right now they wouldn't know what to bring, but they will. Following their oral interview, they will be given that topic and that assignment and instructions and a week to prepare. So then during that week, they can determine what they want to bring to that.
And I guess I'm just overthinking a little bit, but without putting limits, I mean, I could bring another presenter with me, theoretically. I could bring props. I could bring, you know, I'm trying to make sure that examples of last time, you know, you were told to do a PowerPoint, for instance, but in this case, we're not giving them any limitations as to what they bring, you know, I just want to be cautious that, you know, bring two professors from a university to help me make my point, I guess.
Yeah. And we aren't putting the limits on it. And if whatever they feel could help make them graded on that presentation and, you know, do a good job. I'm not sure if you're having someone else speak, whether that may or may not, you know, bode, you know, but certainly we're not putting a limitation on that. If that's how they chose to do the presentation, if they chose handouts, if they choose a PowerPoint, you know, we're going to leave that open, understanding that, you know, it will be the impact of their, you know, presentation and the quality overall that will be graded.
Well, sounds like the sky really is the limit.
Okay, I'm glad that, yeah, I just, we've got some really creative thinkers in law enforcement.
And that we're actually, you know, encouraging that creative thinking, that those presentation skills, and whatever they feel can best showcase and highlight their skills and presentations, their leadership abilities, that's great.
Well, Commissioner, they might be calling on you, to help with that presentation.
So. I was thinking that you bring that with a caterer and a few other things, and we have a little conversation.
A little independent film, bring it in. Yeah. Now, is there a time limit on that? It should be only, does it say 30 minutes or something?
So there will be. We're not stating that now. That will go out in the instructions. So we want to make sure we're giving, you know, information at the same time to all the candidates and emailing it for those that may not be able to attend this meeting or... Yeah, so.
That you will pick a certain amount of time,
yes,
within which they can do all of those different things.
Yes, and the advisory board has done that, and we'll get that information sent to them.
Okay, limited potential for presentation, but not a limited time, so. Which is probably a good thing.
Yes.
So. Are any other questions from the commission? If not, then let's open this up to public comment. Again, we would be interested in hearing from anyone who would like to provide a comment or has a clarifying question. Again, if you'll just state your name for the record, that would be helpful. And as Karita's mentioned before, anybody online, you can choose to raise your hand or simply unmute yourself to make comment or enter questions in the chat. So we'll make that time available to you now.
Hey, commissioners, my name is Trent Ingersoll. I'm currently a sergeant with the Public Safety Bureau and am eligible to take this exam. My question is, will we have the opportunity to, go into the space ahead of time of where this leadership presentation will occur so that as we do formulate, after we receive the instructions, will we have the opportunity to see the space to ensure that it will be accessible for whatever ideas or presentation we have come up with?
But just in case you want to bring an elephant in the room, you want to make sure there's enough space for it.
Yes, and we have done this prior, and we will continue this practice. We let the candidates know the room that they are going to be in, and they can set up it's generally a 30-minute block to come in, and if they want to plug in a PowerPoint or see how it works, and we will again do that for this testing, send out information to all candidates notifying them that they can schedule time to come visit the room and look at any equipment that's there and what equipment they may need to bring.
Probably before March 24th when the leadership presentations begin, correct?
Correct, that is accurate.
Okay. All right, does that answer your question?
It does, yes. And then I just had one follow-up, and I think Commissioner Bertram may have addressed this, but shall the leadership presentation, shall we choose to do a PowerPoint or something to that effect, would we be limited to the computer provided there, or would we be able to bring in a laptop that has our presentation and use our own resources in the setting that we're given?
And I think I heard Karina say that would be the case, that you could bring your own.
And that's my understanding. I'm turning to the advisory board. Do you see any problem if they want to bring their own computer versus using the one in the room?
No.
Okay, the advisory board is confirming that they can either bring their own computer or use the one that's in the room.
And I guess it would just be wise to make sure that whatever you bring, if it's especially another computer, is compatible with the equipment there. And you'll have that opportunity, sounds like, before to visit the room and see the setup.
Exactly. And that's why we give them that opportunity to make sure whatever they're bringing is compatible and works, and you know, we don't have those technical difficulties, hopefully.
Okay. Thank you. That answers all of my questions.
Hey, Karina.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, sorry, this is Scott Laughlin. I just want to make sure everybody knows that they have to contact the mayor, or contact one of the HR people to get access to that room to go through it. So they had to schedule it with either Sergeant Russell or myself to get access to that room.
That will be covered at the non-mandatory.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that comment?
So that will also be covered in the orientation meeting. But again, anything that's in that orientation meeting, we're going to email out. So if they weren't in the orientation meeting and you know, provided that information, it will be sent to them via email saying, you know, if you wish to, you know, visit the room where the presentation will be held, contact so-and-so.
All right. Again, I assume that will be included in the part of the instructions.
It's correct. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. Any other questions, comments? Anything online? Not seeing anything in chat. Not seeing anybody online. Unmuting. So I think it might be safe then to close public comment. Unless you're getting any other cues there, Rita?
No, not seeing anything.
Okay. All right. We'll bring this back to the any further discussion that either commissioner would like to have, or
which may also
wish to entertain a motion to?
No, but I can. I will. I could make a motion. I just need to get back to my document. I get it correct. Wrong document. I would propose to approve the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Promotionary Exam as written for 2025.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the exam plan as it's been presented here today. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, you have approval for an exam plan and for that process to move forward.
Great. Thank you, commissioners. We appreciate your support, and Commissioner Salazar, I'll be getting both documents to you for signature.
Sounds good.
Thanks for all you do, Karina. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Commissioner. Thanks, Commissioner Stonebook. We appreciate you.
Yes, and to everyone who helped, of course, also develop this and provide their input. So just staring here at the dates on the screen, and it's hard to believe that we have just barely started the year. We're already looking at the end of March. And and this timeline. So, anyways.
Do you right, need a motion to dismiss?
I believe I would be open to that if you'd like to make that, Commissioner.
Okay, I move that we close our meeting today.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Take care, everyone. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.